Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Now, I will do this. I take all my niggas to church. You coming to church?
Why you go to church? So your church be seeing you with different dudes?
I don't care. Because I need you to understand this is important to me, okay? I mean, sometimes the Lord be speaking when you're in church.
But do you be listening when he's speaking, Crystal?
I do. I had one nigga start sweating. We praise and worship. I turn around, this nigga sweating profusely. I said, get that devil up out you now. Is you nervous?
You nervous?
What happened?
What'd he say? What'd he say? What was the problem?
He tried to go to the bathroom and get a towel and stop it. Go. I was like, you got menopause? I said, can we get maybe
the men
get
menopause? Oh, God.
Every second that escapes without you here with me keeps my heart anticipating till I finally see you.
When I made my vows, I told God that I was gonna take care of this gift.
All my life I've been waiting for you. Girl, you know I've been praying for you. Been writing these love letters to you.
So I fight for that future in the present. You know what I'm saying?
That was good.
Congratulations to the ones who found love, for the hope and new beginnings from heaven above. I await my future wifey. I pray that it won't be too long. Too long. Every second that it's.
Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. I'm your host, LaTerrace R. Whitfield. Listen. Are you still shacking up with us? If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Come on. Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. And while you're at it, go and hit that like button so that this video can be recommended on YouTube. Man, listen, season 8, we have been having a dynamic season thus far. And today, y'all been asking for this guest. And we've been fasting and praying and interceding and believing God to show favor on the Dear Future Wifey podcast to bring us this dynamic queen. Without further ado, welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast, my new homie, Crystal Renee Hazlett. How you doing?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Crystal, let me tell you something. People been like for about a year.
Wow.
They've been DMing me, asked me, why don't you get Crystal? Especially when you launched your podcast, mm-hmm. They sure was like, get her. She have a podcast. Get her on the podcast.
Well, thank
you
y'all.
Know? And why do you think people love you so much?
You know, because I'm authentic. I'm just me. And so either I'm your cup of tea or I'm not. So
what I find that's very unique is that when you find women that there's certain types of women that women actually love.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of those people. And I have a lot of female friends and they all just like, oh my God, I love her. I love her. Can I just stop by the studio when she's here? Can I just say hi to her? Can you just
yes.
FaceTime her while you're around or whatnot? Do you get a lot of that when you're out, people telling you FaceTime a mom, a FaceTime a sister, whatever?
Oh, well, I'm the one that tells them to FaceTime. When they say my mom loves you, I'm like, call her. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, call her. Yeah, I love connecting with the fans who's basically become family. So for sure, I love it.
Could you imagine that though? You were behind the scenes. You were behind the scenes talent and now you're in front of the camera. How does that feel to go from that transition? Or did you always want that?
I did. Since I was 5 years old, I remember rehearsing and actually reciting acceptance speeches. Like I was like, First, giving honor to God, I want to thank my family. And like, I literally used to practice this as a, at a very young age, because where I'm from is really small. I'm from Martin, Tennessee.
Martin, Tennessee. You always represent Martin, Tennessee.
I'm a rep it, period, all day.
Where is it close by?
It's 2 hours north of Memphis, 3 hours west of Nashville.
Okay.
So like right in that tip top corner, close to Kentucky. I'm like 10 minutes from Kentucky.
10 minutes from Kentucky. Yeah. Wow, you're right on the border.
Right on the border.
Okay, okay. Martin, yeah. Tennessee. Shout out to Martin, Tennessee.
Shout out, Martin.
If any of y'all watch my podcast, shout out to y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Yes. Well, they watching. Y'all better be watching.
Y'all better be watching, supporting right y'all down home.
That's right.
And so you said you would do acceptance speeches, but what were you accepting the speech as? You, as a singer?
As a singer and an actor.
So you always wanted to be an actress?
I did, yeah.
Really?
I did, yep.
So were you involved in like school plays or church plays or regional theater or anything back then?
Not regional theater, but I did school plays. I did church plays for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I was raised in a church now. Uh-huh. So yeah, I definitely did the church plays. And I just always tried to dive into the arts world. I loved it.
And so people that don't know your beginnings, you know, because one of the things that I find so fascinating about your story on how you became a cast member of a show, I actually, I ain't ashamed to say I be watching Sisters, y'all. From season one, I watched Sisters.
Wow.
First of all, because there's a lot of cute women on there, so that's why I be watching it.
Some beautiful women on the show.
So I be like, oh, they're beautiful. So I said, I can watch this.
Tyler knows how to cast them now.
I'm trying to tell you, you know, and so tell people how you got on Sisters.
Wow. Well, I have to start from the beginning.
Yeah, I want you to start from the very beginning.
I started off as a PA. For those who don't know what a PA is, it's a production assistant. And you do anything that people...
I need my coffee. Go get my coffee.
Right
go
now.
Get me this. Go run me this. I need some Claritin. Go to the store. Go get me that.
Anything. You don't even have to do a production. Whatever they need, you do it. that's what I was doing. I did that for about 3 months and then started dressing the background. I was like, hey, I want to move up. Like, how can I learn? So I was always around the costume designers and the costumers, just trying to pick up on anything that I could, because I didn't come from that world.
Right.
You know, I was actively pursuing acting and music when I was PAing. So I always tell people, whatever you're trying to do, try to get a job within that arena so you can still learn while you're on the job. And I did that, then became the main costumer for the main characters. So now I'm on set.
You're done elevated.
Yeah, I was down in some room by myself where nobody ever saw me, kind of like Cinderella.
Yeah.
I was down there in the room helping everybody and just getting people out, all the background, getting those people dressed. And understand this, there are no movies, no television shows without background.
Yep.
Background, they are so important. So I was dressing them and then got on set, started dressing the main characters. And that's when I was around Tyler. And probably 2015, I had went to work on a movie with Jamie Foxx, T.I., and Gabrielle Union. And I got a call from the studio, and it was the president at the time, Ozzie Aru. And he said, hey, Crystal, this is Ozzie. Tyler wants to know if you'd be interested in costume designing the next set of shows. And I was like...
Next set of shows.
Mm-hmm, that was the offer. And I was like, let me think about it. Because I didn't know if I wanted that responsibility.
Yeah.
I had to remind you, I'm actively auditioning. I'm pursuing this dream of mine that I've had since a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to give up now that I'm starting to get callbacks? Casting directors know my name. Is this the time you walk away to go costume design? Because that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
So I prayed about it. And I said, all right, I'll do it. You know, because one, I needed the money. Let's just be honest. The bills, I needed to make more money. So I was like, let me just try it.
And you were living in Atlanta then?
Mm-hmm. I was in Atlanta, and I had been working there at that point probably like 3 years. So, well, no, two years. From 2013, I started in January of 2013 to 2015 is when I got the offer. And I took the job. And then in between even starting my first costume designing job, Tyler called me while I was in Amsterdam, and I love telling this story because you know what people do in Amsterdam.
What they do, Crystal? Crystal, what they be doing in Amsterdam on the red light district? What they be doing?
I'll be on the red light district.
You went on the red light district?
They be smoking.
What was you, they be doing drugs?
They be doing drugs. Now let me remind y'all, I have not been saved all my life. This has been a journey.
She's been a little bit more Fatima.
You know, yeah. I was definitely Fatima in 2015, honey. So I get a call from this random number and I don't answer it because I don't answer random numbers. I still don't. And I get a text saying, what are you doing in Europe? And I'm like, who is this? And how do you know where I am?
Shoot.
And this one, I'm so high. And he goes, it's Tyler Perry. And I said, oh, shit. So I called back. I was like, hey, what you doing? He said, what are you doing? I said, a whole lot of stuff I ain't got no business doing. Because that's just me. I'm just honest to a fault. I'm just going to be real, which is why he probably loved me. Because like, this girl just don't care.
Yeah, don't care. They ain't trying to impress nobody.
No, this what you see is what you get. And he's like, well, I need help revamping my wardrobe. Can you come to L.A. and help me? We were actually flying back to L.A. from Amsterdam. Because that's where we had come from. And I was like, well, I'm actually going to be in L.A. in 2 days. He said, well, take time to get acclimated because I know that's a long trip. Call me when you're ready. So I called him 2 days later. And I said, hey, I'm ready. When do you want to meet? And he said, come by the house. So I go by his house. Oh, my gosh. This man lives, like, on the top of this hill. Like, this house is so big. I'm like, oh, my God. Wow. Like, this is
crazy. Gotta be breathtaking.
It was, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And the view, oh, my God. It was just something I'd never seen before. So we meet, and I'd already started creating mood boards of like the style that I thought would fit him to revamp his personal.
So you was already working.
Oh yeah, listen.
So you don't play no games. Then you like he gave you a call of interest, and you said I'm coming not empty handed.
And that's to anybody. If somebody calls you and you want to, are you're interested? Show them you're interested.
Teach.
Come on now, teach. Don't come like. So what you thinking?
Yeah.
No, this is what I was thinking. You know, so I did it, and he was like,
"That's
can you
a lesson,
drive?
Y'all. That is a lesson. Right. I'm trying to tell you, people don't understand.
Don't
they be open,
it.
They be wanting doors. It's funny how Kevin on stage was talking about he had a vision of having a play on tour, and he went and got this flight. He went to go meet with this director, and all he said was, "Hi." He said, I spent all my money to go fly to Florida to go buy this expensive ticket to this gala. And he just said, hi. And he said, well, I met him. He said, I had no plan of action, no nothing.
Oh,
and
my
so that's
goodness.
Important when you say, listen, come prepared.
Yes.
Come presenting something.
Yeah. Like I had to show him what I had. And it also helped with even costume designing to show him, okay, she can like look at a person and envision how they should dress based off their body type, their style, their age. You gotta take all these things into factor. So mind you, I'm visiting, I don't live in LA. So he's like, can you drive? And I was like, yeah. So he goes in his drawer, pulls out one of the many keys of all the cars that he has. And he's like, here. And then he proceeds to pull out his black card. Now, if anybody's ever felt a black card,
That's above my pay grade.
It's so heavy.
I have a card that's black, but it ain't a black card.
It ain't a black card. It's so heavy. So he said in my hand, and my hand went, I said, oh, it's got a little weight on it. Okay. This is what real money feel like.
This is what real money feel like. Shoot, no, there's no credit limit. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good oh my
Lord.
Goodness.
He said, threw it on you, gave you a card, said, go shopping.
Go do your thing, and I'll have somebody meet you as the car gets full. So as the bags filled up.
So I mean, you went working right then.
Right then. You got to be ready. I was ready.
So he had a show he was actually doing right then.
No, this is like this. Like you called me, Chris, I want you to style me.
Oh, you styled him personally.
This is for his personal wardrobe. Yeah. And I went to work just like that. And I was like, this is just for his closet in L.A. Just one of the houses. I was like, okay. So literally one of his people that worked for him, followed, like as I started, the car started getting too full, they would meet me at a store, unload, take the stuff to the house. So he's actively seeing what I'm purchasing while I'm continuing to shop.
Lord, I see what you've done for others.
Come on now.
You know, God, I'm going to speak this in the atmosphere. Black card anointing. I want a black card anointing where I can just say, here, take this card. Go shop for me.
Because
I'll be trying to get your budget. I'll be like, now, listen.
All I got on this card is this card.
What are you talking about going? I don't know what your taste is. Let me tell you my taste. I'm going to need a little bit of Zara. I'm going to need you to come do this. Don't be all up in Prada and Gucci and all that stuff. I need you to kind of mix and match it.
Yeah, it's an album. The card is an album. You got your hits and you got your fillers.
Come on.
Louis Prada.
Yeah.
Dolce & Gabbana.
And
those are the hits.
Mix with the other stuff.
Mix that Zara up in there
now. He just sat here and give it and you just went.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
No. I was excited. had a black card in my hand. What you talking about? A woman with a black card? I was excited. And I was spending your money? Come on.
But tell them like 6'5" or something. So yeah. That's a unique way to find clothes or even dress them.
It is, but at the time I was also styling Robert Covington, who's in the NBA. Now he plays back with Philadelphia 76ers. So I already knew, like,
you see that preparation
stores.
That God
come
does?
Come on, won't he do it?
He will give Every you that time. He will give you that shepherd boy anointing so that you can learn it then so you can go ahead and defeat Goliath.
Yes. Every time, like, there's so many instances in my life where God literally, there were seasons where I'm like, God, why are you taking me through this? Why am I having to learn this? Why is this person taking me under their wing? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then literally a few months later, you get a call. And it's like, oh, you were preparing me for this call. It's crazy.
I love God and all his omniscience. Yeah. And so you go and loading up vehicles of clothes. And then what did he say when you
He calls
out?
Me. The first batch that went back to the house, he was like, you're on the right track. I'm loving everything. So I just kept going and that was 2015, and I stopped styling him in 2020, second season of Sisters. I was still doing everything.
So you were still styling him and then working as an actress?
Mm-hmm. I was getting all that money.
I want all the checks. Give me all the
checks. All the checks. I was an actor, a producer, a costume designer, and a stylist. That was fun.
You was a costume designer on that show,
season
too?
Season one. Yeah, season one, I was a costume designer. You should have seen me. I actually had an actor room down the hall. I run down and get dressed, run the set, finish my scenes, then come back to work and get everybody else dressed. I will work now. That's one thing you're not going to take from me. Sis got work ethic.
God,
I'm
no.
Work. Yeah.
Tell people briefly how that elevation happened from a couple of lines to a season regular to your own show.
My God.
Team.
First of all, nothing but the grace of God. I can't take credit for any of that besides the fact that I did the work. And really what happened, Tyler and I and a few other friends were having lunch, and we were just talking about all the shows he had to do because the new BET deal had just came.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and the concept of doing like a show about women in their 30s dating in Atlanta, I said, that's me. I got the stories.
And does she have stories, boy, when we just got finished talking? Boy,
y'all,
let me tell you.
I got stories for days, y'all.
Well, we're gonna talk about some of the stories in a little bit, y'all.
Yeah, we got, oh geez. My God, a good Kiki. But yeah, I was like, I said, I have stories. I said, I don't know like how I'd be involved. And he said, you'd produce it. And I was like, okay, cool. So season one, it literally was just me producing and costume designing. But as I got the scripts and I'm seeing my stories, my friend's stories jumping off the pages at me, I'm like, oh my God.
Put me in coach.
Literally. So Tyler is on the Madea farewell tour. I thought he was off because it was a million dates. So the schedule's like, the word lines are like this big. I'm like, where are he off today? So I call him. He's literally in full Madea backstage. Hello? I'm like, what you doing? He was like, nothing, sitting up backstage waiting to go on. What's up? And I was like, oh my God, call me back. I said, I didn't realize you were working. I thought you were off. And he goes, no, what's up? And I was like, well, I'm reading the scripts and I want in. He was like, what you mean? And I said, I never told you this, but I want to act. And he was like, huh? I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to call you when I'm done. Hangs up, texts me immediately. I love this idea. Let's talk further. So he ends up calling me like a day or two later. I thought he forgot about me, but he didn't. And he called me. He was like, so he said, do you have any self-tapes? I said, yeah. I said, I've actually auditioned for you twice. And he said, huh? I said, yeah. Oh, you didn't see that? Oh. It was good, too. I gave you my best. I put it all out there for you. And he was like, no. And so I sent him some self-tapes of other projects.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
He said, I did you twice.
I was like, yeah. And I had to address the people that you casted for that. Talk about some Umba Pie Boy.
So they took my part.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm so happy for you. That was for me. But no, it was not for me because what God had for me, and this is a testimony for anybody.
Tell them.
What God has for you is far beyond what you feel like is that part. You know, if you're an actor or whatever you're trying to do,
tell them.
It's always so much bigger. So he said, I'm going to give you, after he watched my self-tapes, he said, you got something. I can work with this.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, let's work with it. So he wrote Fatima in. He said, I'm not going to make it a big character. What you do with it, we're going to see where this goes. So season one, he was like, oh my God. Season two, he called me. This season two was COVID. Oh, my God. I'm laying on my sofa. No lie, y'all. Looking at, I'm in my $400,000 townhouse looking at million-dollar homes.
Why, you was wanting to move?
During COVID.
You were dreaming?
Big dreamer. I'm just at home, that's how my brain works. So I'm just like manifesting. I'm just like, oh, I like this. Oh, I can afford that. That's cute. Whatever. I get a call. Tyler, he said, I'm going to make you a sister. When I tell y'all about I rolled off that sofa.
Boy.
He said, you're going to be a sister season two. I said, Tyler, get off my phone. He said, no, I'm serious. So he did that. I became a series regular. And mind you, Tyler helped me get my first home. Because, you know, when you're working in the film industry, you're literally working check to check to check.
Oh, yeah.
So shout out Tyler for helping me with my down payment because I didn't have that money. But when I got that house, he said, I give you 4 years, you'll be in a mansion. Tyler said this in 2017.
He said 4 years.
4 years. I don't know where 4 years came from. Within 4 years, he called me. He don't even remember saying this. He said, it's time you got that little house. I said, I got a like four house. Bedroom, like three and a half bath.
It's just me.
Three levels. Me. By myself. I ain't got a dog.
Get out that little house.
It's not, he called it a little, I think he called it a apartment or a condo. I said, wow.
He said, why you gonna just insult me? I love my, this is my
disrespect. I got a 2-car garage with 2 cars in it.
Get out the little old thing.
But this is how he pushes you. So I get the call and I'm like, oh my gosh, Tyler, thank you so much. Got that. And then season two comes and Fatima's trending every week.
That's what I was about to say, because he saw, so this is what Tyler Perry's his secret sauce is, because we both from the theater world. Mm-hmm. He understands live responses.
Yes.
And so why he's a mastermind at what he does is because he has perfected the art of being in front of a live audience and watching how they respond to him and then giving them what they want consistently. Mm-hmm. And so what he saw from that show was he was like, hold on, these are the people that people talking about. This is what, well, every time she comes on screen, people are responding. They're responding live on Twitter saying, cause, and I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what was so crazy about your character is because I kept saying that I don't know how saved I was because I had this crush on Fatima and I was like, but she can't be a woman of God because she don't come off like the anointed wife that I desire.
She's a thug.
Yeah, she's a straight up thug. So I made a post one day. I made a story post and I said, God, I want a woman, I want my future wife to have a little bit of Fatima in her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said, give me a little bit of that. And I said, because you know I'm from the hood, so you know, I'm like, it's a little attraction of a woman. Because it was a scene that you did. Mm-hmm. It was a scene that you did with DeVal. Shout out to him.
Shout out D.
Man, listen, it was a scene to where this, you know, with the whole money situation and, you know, the trading tips or whatnot.
Yes.
And the woman was like trying to give him a decent proposal. Like, listen, you're going to have to give me some or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then you was like, do what you got to do.
Yeah, he said, what you mean?
He said, what you mean?
Just what I said.
Do what you got
to do because you're not going to jail.
I said, Lord, this is a woman of God if I ain't.
Now that's a woman of God.
That's a woman of God right there. She understands the dilemma. She's that's what you
that's
call a ride or die.
Woman, right?
She's very logical. She makes sense. But then in old Fatima fashion, she shows up at the doggone hotel and like, what? And she check that up. Woman like I was just like, this is interesting. God, I know this is toxic. Why am I liking this? Do I still need more therapy? Because I'm liking the bit. Yeah, I need deliverance because why am I liking this?
Yeah.
This is toxicity. Why am I liking this? And so it's interesting when people gravitated towards her character.
Yeah, they did. And it was crazy. And I wasn't paying attention to Twitter like that. Tyler was like screenshotting. He's like, what are you doing to these people? And I'm like, well, you the one writing it. I'm just saying what you said.
But because you say it in such a convict, like you're very, it's just, it's an essence that you have when you're delivering the lines, and it's like, it seems so real. Like, because I started saying, maybe that's a little bit of Crystal. Maybe she act like that. See, look there. I want y'all to comment down there. Y'all think it's art imitating life, or life imitating art? Comment that there. Do you think that's a little bit of Crystal Renee Haislett?
Hey, listen, I ain't gonna lie to y'all.
But let me tell you something. It's some things that another part that was so dope about the character Fatima is how she edifies Zach.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I want, my biggest takeaway from that show is the fact that, you know, Karen, she was overlooking Zach while he was in his struggle or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then he got a woman that believed in him, and now his glow up is so beautiful or whatnot. And it's like he met you at the right time and you gave him the space to grow. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, of course, a lot of people will be against that, be like, nah, because a lot of times women gamble like that and they come up short. We're going to get into your personal stories about that. But when you think you're going to get in your personal testimonies
that's
about
when
that.
That's when artists are imitating life. No, wait a minute, Tyler Perry. Don't be writing my life
down. Don't be writing my life down.
I didn't ask you to do all that.
But when you look at a Zach story like that, when you got the words on pages, did you agree? Because, you know, you got to believe the character when you start portraying the character. Did you agree with her choices when it came to Zach?
It's so funny you asked me that, because in the beginning I did not, because I was bringing so much of Crystal into it. And DeVal and I would be rehearsing, and I'm like, she wouldn't do that. And he's like, no, Fatima would do that. Crystal wouldn't do that. And I'm like, you're right. He said, you got to stop judging the character, because there are so, as we see now, there are so many Fatimas in the world because so many women relate to her. And I had to stop. And honestly, Fatima has helped me as well. She has helped me open my mind, even when it comes to like dating.
But as a catch 22 though, as a catch 22.
And then
but,
Crystal come back and be like, hey, what you?
We're going to just go ahead and slide on into that. When you say art imitating life and life imitating art. So have you had some Zachs in your life?
I done attracted two Zachs in the last year. I said, come on now. And it's crazy because every time I get upset, I feel like it just start happening. I'm like, why does this keep happening to me?
So is it because you're, what is that? Do you just have a big heart? Do you try to see the potential? Are you the queen of seeing potential?
I am, and I'm the queen of investing in my person. Oh, Lord have mercy. I need my money back. Can I get my money back, please? I got it.
You get your refund.
I need my refund.
If men don't come with refunds.
But I do. I have a big heart, and I like to I've always been like this. I always see the best in people.
Good.
Because a part of me remembers what it was like to be in that place where I was like broke and trying to figure it out, but knowing I know I can do this.
Yes.
But we 40.
What that mean, Crystal?
I was 20 something when I was doing that. We grown.
Well, sometimes people take some people longer, Crystal.
You do. But we'll get it together before you come over here. Okay, can we do that? Can we get it together?
Crystal, you thought you had a baller. You thought you had a baller at one point.
Lie to y'all. One of them, I was like, I said, okay, he fly just like me. I was like, he got money.
He got money.
He got real money. I was like, we do the same things. We travel abroad. We be on yachts in Miami. We do all the things. We like to shop. I was like, we like jewelry. I was like, everything. And I was like, yeah, I was like, your Instagram is really giving off fraudulent. It's giving, this is not my real life, what most Instagram is. People really be faking. I've met one of the people in real life. People really be faking out here. And I was like, oh my God.
How long did it take you to find out that the Instagram life was not the real life?
Well, that was about a month in. And I had a conversation, because y'all, I'm real with people.
You were saying,
and
you're
I said
up.
It. I said, listen, I feel like your Instagram was misleading. Because I thought you were a baller. It was giving.
Rihanna,
we can take tip for tat on this thing.
Rihanna, can't be laughing.
It was given. We can go tit for tat. I got you. I come on, you know, but it was a lot of me getting, and I was like, getting got now at this point. What we doing?
You talking to getting done got.
Yeah, I was like, all right now, this ain't cute no more.
So you're the type, you're not, so clearly you're not the type that expects the man to pay for everything when y'all on dates or whatever.
Not at all. And I love like being like, babe, I got this. Or I love being like, I plan this. Like, because I also, especially when you have someone who is working hard, a hard worker, you know they're trying to pursue something or they have some type of accomplishment. Like, I love to celebrate my person.
Good.
So, no, not at all.
But are you relationship, when you look at that past relationship, was that just somebody you were dating or y'all were in a committed relationship where you say, that's my man?
Yeah, we were, that was my man.
Yeah, the question was, why are you questioning
this? I had to think about it. But yeah,
it was just last year.
It was just last year. Because you know, sometimes you think it's one thing, but then when you look back, you're like, that actually was just a date. A few dates for a couple of months. But nah, this, we was together, yeah. Because we were all, we did everything together. Yeah.
You forgot all about that part, that y'all did everything together?
Yeah, we did. Like, I was like, we actually did a lot together in that 5 months. But
so are you the type that you say that you date in private until it's permanent?
Absolutely. I don't post on Instagram. We're not walking red carpets. But I don't hide you. Like, if we're going on dates, so if you see me, you see us.
We discussed that. It's like, I believe in dating where if you see me, I ain't going to hide you, but I'm not finna post you.
No.
I'm not finna say that until I put a ring on your
finger.
That's
for my husband.
Yeah.
Red carpets are for my husband. I don't want, now I will do this. I take all my niggas to church. You coming to church?
Why you go to church? So your church be seeing you with different dudes?
I don't care. Because I need you to understand this is important to me, okay? I mean, sometimes the Lord be speaking when you're in church.
But do you be listening when he's speaking, Crystal?
I do. I had one nigga start sweating. We in praise and worship. I turn around, this nigga sweating. Profusely. That's it. Get that devil up out you now. Is you nervous?
Is you nervous?
What happened?
What'd he say? What's the problem?
He tried to go to the bathroom and get a towel and stop it. Go. I was like, you got menopause? I said, can men get maybe
can men
get
menopause? Menopause. Oh, God. Menopause.
I was like, man, oh, I said, listen, tell me, I put on lotion today. Nah, nigga, you done got in church and you got a little, I'm listening to that spirit.
He said he put lotion on. That's what made him sweat.
That's what made him sweat. I said, nah, what you in here nervous about?
So you vet guys through church?
Yeah, like I do. Like for me, I'll invite anybody to church, you know. But and I also feel like if I will invite my friends, why wouldn't I bring the person? Shut up. Why wouldn't I bring the person I'm dating? So it's crazy because I won't walk you on the red carpet, but I will bring you to church. Yeah, you're gonna come to church because I will say this though, I want a partner that will come to church with me. And I like to like apply what we learn throughout the week. So for me, that is so important. I need to know for whoever I'm dating to know this is something we got to do. That, you know what I'm saying, that's important to her. So, and I want it to be equally as important to him as well. But sometimes
you want him to take what y'all learned in church and apply it through the week.
Yeah, we got to. I feel like that's how you learn to communicate through Christ. You learn to give each other grace because you're both actively learning principles that you can take within to the week with you. That's just kind of how I look at it.
How's that worked out? Have you even expressed that?
No, definitely. In the beginning, I always let them know, like, hey, going to church is really important to me. I love my church. Shout out Dr. Darius Daniels and Pastor Shamika at Change Church.
When I tell you, I absolutely love Dr. Darius Daniels. He came to my studio, about a couple of weeks ago or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what I love about him. He, you never know who's watching you.
Yeah.
And so he has been watching my platform.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he reached out to me one day through a mutual friend and was like, I want to help you monetize your platform on a different level. I want to teach you how to, you know, to do courses and that type of stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I said, why you want to do that? And he's like, because I watch you and your heart is in the right place. Mm. And he said, the more people that we can put in the kingdom out there doing stuff like that, mm-hmm. the more it helps the body of Christ. And I said, well, how much am I going to owe you? Like, you going to come and do a private thing? Like, he said, you owe me nothing.
Well, I tell you, PD's so blessed. And that's why.
Crystal, when that man said that to me, and I sat there, and then my skepticism kept me. He said, he's lying. He's lying. I said, watch, I'm going to go visit the church. We're going to talk, and then he's going to say, well, I'm going to talk to you. And then, but if you want more, I'm going to charge you for it.
It's going to cost you now.
Yeah, it's going to cost you. Now, I gave you that one for free, but if you want to know how you actually implement what I told you to do, then you're going to charge me. So I'm sitting up there looking. That man came to my studio. He sat down and said, schedule whatever time you want. You got my undivided attention. Ask me anything.
Oh my gosh.
And I sat there, and I was just like, I said, God, there are really solid people out here that really will invest in you with no quote unquote return on investment because they care about you. Mm-hmm. And when he said that to me, I was just like, so man, shout out to you, Dr.
Yes.
D. Man, I thank you. I thank you so much. And that's why I said, if I lived in Atlanta, mm-hmm. that would be my pastor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That would be my pastor.
So proud.
How'd you find yourself there?
Isaac Cree.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy enough. I've known Isaac since I was in DC 2007. And when I moved to Atlanta in 2009, the first thing he said was, sis, you need to find a church home.
Yes.
We talked about that spirit in Atlanta.
Yes, it's a heavy spirit that reigns supreme in mm-hmm. Atlanta.
It ain't that rain.
It's not that one.
Not that Kurt Franklin.
No,
it's not even. It ain't that one.
Nope,
it
not that.
It's another one.
It's another one.
So
it's a foul spirit.
You have to stay covered.
Yeah.
And so shout out Ike. And then I was in between churches in 2022, which is when change came. And he was like, sis, where are you going to church? I'm like, I'm actually in between churches right now because I was going to Pastor John Gray's church and he left Atlanta. And he was like, you need to come to change. So I came and YTA ain't left since. I
change
love it there.
Change came while you was in the middle of a change. Boy, ain't that's amazing. Whoop. Ain't that good? That right there, preacher, right?
It's a safe space. That's why I love my church.
Who's the praise and worship leader there?
My big brother, Todd Gabbard. Pastor Todd.
When I tell you, I absolutely love that dude.
Oh, my God.
I mean, man, I was like, I walked in that sanctuary. I was like,
he's amazing.
Doggone it, Todd Gabbard.
It's something when I hear his voice, like that is God singing through him.
Because there's certain people that aren't just singers. Mm-hmm. They're worshipers. They're minstrels of the gospel.
He's a worshiper.
And God breathes through him. Mm-hmm. And I heard you talk about that when you had him on your podcast or whatnot. But
you really be watching my podcast.
I told you, I'll be watching. I watch. Well, first of all, what I love about it so much is because the whole set. You know, the set is very comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's like, I'm about to say, it's like you're at home, but you are at home.
Yeah.
But you're just sitting there comfortable. We'll just chopped it up.
Yeah.
And so I love that. But Todd, I love that so much because I always believe that when God has his hand on people, mm-hmm. they still don't even know the magnitude of what they actually impart into the world.
He does not.
And you had that conversation with me like, I sang a little bit. I mm-hmm. sound all right. I'd be like, well, I'll take your throat and
literally
let me sing like that.
Seriously.
Boy. Yeah.
There was one time I could. I went hoarse. I lost my voice. And I said, Todd, I sound like you. He said, shut up. I said, I completely lost my voice. I was like, I sound like you, but I can't sing like you.
I sound like you, but I can't sing like you
still. Oh, Lord.
That boy, that man is just it's amazing.
He's anointed for sure.
And so how important? Because a lot of times people see people in the industry, mm-hmm. they see you, living your life, whatnot, but how important is it? Because you made a comment about you can't go on the red carpet, but you can come to church. Mm-hmm. How important is your faith life and your Christian walk with the guy that you decide to date and marry?
It's everything. That's number one.
But why? I mean, can he just be a churchgoer? Can he be somebody that attends church, love the Lord, but mm-hmm. he ain't got to be all laying hands and
yeah, no. And it's crazy you say that because PD just preached about that, is that people have different levels of praise. Me, I'm a jumper and I might catch the Holy Ghost on that thing one time. But some people just sit still in the presence of God. Other people may clap. I'm a yeller and a jumper, but I do that because if I'm at the Hawks game, I'm yelling for DeJounte and Trey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Teach.
You know, so why can't I do that for the one who's created my life?
You better teach.
Who gives me life every single day. That's one thing where I like, I see people like, you get all excited about people that can't do nothing
that
for
you. That don't even know your name.
Hello.
But I, Tasha Cobb says, but he knows my name.
He knows my name. We're going to have a little concert over here in a minute.
Let me tell you something. But you'll go holler at the Mavs game.
Sure will. Yeah, we're going to say Dallas.
Put some respect to where you at. You're going to holler at the Mavs game.
I got to come to a Mavs game because I was walking through the airport. I was like, oh, they got some players.
Oh, yeah, we got some players. Yeah, we got some serious players.
Oh, yeah, I do. You know what? I was there when he had the 70-something points. I was at that game.
I can't. Well, I forget his name.
Not Luka, but the...
Luka. That's what I'm about to say. I'm about to say his first name.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you hit the nail on the head. You can holler and shout at the games or whatnot, and then you get that same dude in church and be like, man, they doing too much.
Now, you was yelling at that space table the other night. But you can't yell for Jesus. Okay.
They be like, man, I mean, that's different. You know what I'm saying? That's just different. This is me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just don't chill. Yeah, it'd be you all the time.
I ain't be hollering. Right. You got to do your hand like this.
Right.
I ain't be hollering all up in church like that. Yeah. You know? The people that be doing that, you know, they kind of funny anyway. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna be hopping all around like this.
Yeah, but I think what happens is when you have an encounter with God on the level that I've had, and I'm sure you have as well, that thing hit different. When that Holy Spirit touched, it is different because you realize the things that God has saved you from, that he's protected you from, how far he's brought you, and how undeserving you are.
That part.
How undeserving. And that's what every day I wake up and I'm like, God, thank you.
Especially I've done when you look back, because when you look back at Martin, Tennessee. Mm. Now you live in $1 million home.
2.5.
Oh, my bad. Let me put it. Rihanna, you hear that? You hear that? I just said million. Oh, okay. 2 points.
I was looking at $1 million homes, but God said, go bigger.
Elevation, baby.
He said, look higher.
Think higher, baby. Think
that's
higher.
Tyler Perry says higher. No, that's really Tyler, too. He was like, you're thinking too small, baby. Well, that man said, you need to think big.
What you saying? You say, yeah, that $400,000 condo, which is amazing, by the way, if you have a $400,000 condo.
And it's a rental now. Come on, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. She said, I still kept
it. Shout out to Val and his camera crew. Like, staying over there. Appreciate you.
Thank you for the rent.
Hey, listen.
He said, I had a little old thing.
A little thing. Yeah. And then even like the house I'm in now is like, he's so proud of me.
But did you envision that?
I did.
But did you envision that solo or with husband?
Get out my business. Uh-huh. I definitely envisioned it with a family.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because as I was shopping for a home, I remember a friend of mine, her mom was like, you're going to go buy this big home. How do you think you're going to find a man? She literally said that to me, and I was like, well, I'm about to be 40. I just turned 40. I was like, I'm 40 years old. I was like, I'm not waiting anymore. I'm going to continue to live my life, and whoever comes, this will just be a house that we have. If we want to build something together, we can sell this and build something together. But these are the properties I have. I love real estate. I have a home in Tennessee. I have
Martin.
Mm-hmm, I have my main house in Atlanta. I have my townhouse, and I'm closing on a property in Miami. So this is what
I ain't waiting.
I'm not waiting. And like, so whoever comes in my life, like, okay, yeah, babe, this is what she got. Yeah, we got a spot in Miami. We got a house in Atlanta. And then, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be. But I just had to stop living in fear of, oh, you're just going to make them even more insecure because it's already so much that they're coming to you with. It's like, what can I do? And I have had men say that. She doesn't need me for anything.
Yeah, because men want to feel needed.
Yeah.
And so they look at what you've acquired and say, what can I get you? Because a lot of times men say, you know, a woman wants a house. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the greatest gift you could ever give a woman is a home. And you like, mine's $2.5 million. He like, well, I was looking at this other down the street, though, about $425,000, and now I can't get you that.
Yeah,
and then he was like, well, maybe I can get you a car. I got two of those.
Yeah.
Well, doggone it, what can I get you?
Love.
You know, but they don't believe that love is an asset. They don't believe mm-hmm. that love is something mm-hmm. that, because, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. due to what we see on social media, is that's undervalued. Mm-hmm. It's like yeah. saying that at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I can do bad all by myself. You know what I'm saying? Tyler Perry, one of his stage plays he did. I can do bad all by myself. And so the reality is that if you have all of this, yeah. then oftentimes, and I'm going to ask you whether it's true or not, mm-hmm. that a woman is looking for her equal financially and say, if I got this, then you mm-hmm. got to be able to do what I can do for myself and better. Does that apply to you?
That does not apply to me. But when you're on Instagram acting like you can do that, then I need you to do that. We're going to take it back. Okay, but no. But no, it doesn't apply. And it's so funny you say that because I told you my last relationship was 2018. My last one before I just was like
before you
open
start
to dating. I was like, you know, I'm going to be open to dating. So last year was my first year of really dating since 2018. 18. So I said, all right, God, like my life is amazing. I just want somebody to share it with. There These it are is. My conversations with God, y'all. Uh-huh. I just want somebody to share it with. And he doesn't have to like be my equal financially. He has to be a man of God. He has to have something going on because I'm not dumb enough to think that a man doesn't need to be fulfilled in his purpose, whatever that is, you know.
There it is.
He needs to bring something to the table. Have a roof over your head. Have some reliable transportation. Be able to buy a plane ticket, you know what I'm saying? If we long distance, be able to take me to eat because I like to eat.
But where do you like to eat? Do you like to eat at those very expensive restaurants?
Yeah.
But he got to be able to take you out to these nice restaurants.
Sometimes, but like not all the time, but yeah. But I love.
Let's put perspective uh-huh. where the tab is going to be how much at the end of the night?
Most of my dinners, if it's just even me and my girls, it's at the minimum like $300.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's with drinks and food. Because I like to order a bunch of stuff and we just share it. Or like I get all my favorites.
But if you're just you and your dude, mm-hmm. what do you think it's going to be?
Probably about the same. About three. For two people, about $150 a piece if we're drinking a nice bottle of wine. I mean, the bottle of wine may be $400 starting off at a mid.
She we said the bottle of wine is $400.
We didn't got to the Opus mm-hmm. ones.
Well, God didn't call me to drink, so I'm going to be a little cheap on the wine.
I'm working on that.
$400 wine. Right. What's the most expensive wine you ever paid for?
That I paid for? I want to say probably Opus 1.
And how much is that?
In Miami, that was like 2000 something.
Are you for real?
Mm-hmm. But sometimes they like be getting over. Yeah.
$2,000. Mm-hmm. And you just pay for it like no big deal.
The most expensive I've drank.
What's the most you drank?
I think we were in St. Bart's. And it was like, a $15,000 bottle of wine.
A $15,000 bottle of wine.
It was so good. Now, some of those.
You tell me it tastes different.
Because it's aged. You can taste the barrel. Like, it's just, I'm a wine connoisseur. I love going to, like, Italy. Everywhere I go, I travel. It doesn't matter where I am. I find a winery. I want to drink the wine and eat, like, the cheese and the charcuterie board.
Yeah.
And I just want to taste, like, the land, you know?
$15,000.
Yeah. It was good.
So have you ever did that? Like you on a date with a guy and you went and bought a $2,000 bottle of wine in front of that dude?
I did it for my family.
Okay.
Like I'll buy like a bunch of bottles. Like I really go out all out for my family.
But you ain't never did that on a date?
Maybe like $400 or $600 bottles of wine. Like
how do the guys respond to that?
Well, it depends. You know, I don't just do that for anybody. It just depends on, you know what I'm saying? It depends on who the person is and what the occasion is. You know, I'm mindful of that. But, yeah.
And so when you said that, so in your opinion, you feel like from a financial standpoint, you're looking for do you consider that bare minimum? Where you say somebody at least has a job, a roof over his head, because you ain't say he had to own a house and nothing. Mm-hmm. He can have an apartment.
Yeah, because some people, I was watching, it was a show on Netflix about wealth with the Indian guy. Have you seen that show? Where he was going to different people's homes and like teaching them. And he still rents.
I saw him on Instagram.
Yeah.
No, I saw him on YouTube. I didn't know he had a show, though.
It's on Netflix. And that's what opened my eyes to, because you think society has made you think, oh, you need to own a home. Oh, you're this age, you don't own a home.
His whole thing is saying that it's not good to even own a home because of all, he shows mm-hmm. all the stuff. He went to his New York apartment yes. and did this thing and said, in New York, this same mm-hmm. apartment, if I pay for it, and then if I'm paying property taxes, I would have given up this rates. Kind of money and all yeah. that. He said, but if I took the money that I could have saved here and invested in this, I mm-hmm. could have did this. I know so exactly what you're talking about.
And if the person doing that, but 9 times 10 they're not. If the person's doing that, then it's like, I can respect that, you know? But yeah, you don't have to own a home. He did change my perspective on that. But for me, just being able to just court me in the way that I deserve. And it doesn't have to be a 4-star, 5-star meal every night. You know what I'm saying? I love oxtails from Chef Rob's down the street. You know what I'm yeah. saying? But it needs to, I need to feel some type of value and
pursuit
in pursuit that you're bringing to the table, you know.
You said you prayed a prayer that you had to add an addendum to yes. that prayer. And what was the prayer that you prayed that now you have to try to figure out the Sierra prayer and pray right?
Yes, Lord.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
I said, Lord, I just want love. I want someone who can just be honest with me, faithful, that honors me, someone that loves you, someone that has time. And that's exactly what, listen, I said, oh, you really be listening to your girl. Because you gave me exactly what I asked for. Okay, Lord, now that I got your attention and now that I know you hear me you really do what I ask.
But people may not think that was a bad prayer, Crystal. So why? Well, how did that beautiful prayer show up negative in your life?
Okay, so in those in my experience, what happens is
you got to start out what happened was.
What happened was the time came because he was in between. He was in a transitional period. Uh-huh. You know, so he had no job.
Uh-huh. He had time.
So he had a lot of time. When I need you to be trying to figure that out. Loved me.
See?
Honored me. Came to church with me.
Faithful? See?
He was faithful. Yeah, very faithful.
See?
But yeah.
He was just in a transition. You gave up on that brother too soon.
I did not give up on him too soon. Because what I need you to do, I don't feel like a grown man should step into a relationship through in a transition phase. I feel like you need to get it together before you come.
But love don't wait on no man. He may see men marry at mm-hmm. the right time. So it was his right time.
It was
he
not.
Met you.
How is the right time when you can't provide? Look, I'm over here like.
He can't. She said, I'm going to jump over that blue chair.
How is it the right time?
Because, see, things can change.
We talk to military.
We're going to talk about Zach. See, Zach, mm-hmm. it was the
right time. That's a TV show. How many times does that really happen, though? Let's be real. Where he go from throwing bags on the conveyor belt at the airport to being a millionaire. It don't happen.
But you have that factor. You have the factor. You can change it. You can take that script that you...
Yeah, that's why I invested. I invested in the dream that you had.
Are you investing in his dream?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I invested $40,000.
Really?
Yes. That's like, when I say if you have something that you want to do and I believe in you, I'm an investor. If I go invest in this other company, why would I invest the person I love? You know what I'm saying? But if you hear and you're not there working on what I invested in, I got a problem.
I can't be mad at that.
That's all I'm saying.
I can't be mad at that. Yeah. You don't put some perspective around that thing.
Yeah.
So you really are level-headed like that. That you, it's not that you have some unrealistic expectation. You're very simple in your thought process. You're saying, hey, listen, I know I got this. I can't expect a guy to have all this, but I do need you to have something. And whatever that purpose is, I need to see you actively pursuing that purpose.
Mm-hmm. And because I'm in a position financially to maybe help, because I know, like, I've been in that position where I was dating someone who made millions of dollars and I had this dream and they wouldn't give me a dime.
Really?
Yes. Like, and they just spending money on in the club.
At the strip club, making $30,000. Like, gosh, I wish I had that $10,000. I need my rent paid.
Hello. I ain't gonna lie to you. I used
to, used to be picking it up like this.
No. They would give you know how to, when you go to the strip club, they give you stacks of money.
You would keep it?
Well, I'd be like this right here, then I'd be like.
Yeah. Have a whole good
time. I'm already working for this, so I'm gonna take some of this money home.
How crazy, how disrespectful is that though? For a man to have all that money, and then what did you think? Did you ever say that? Did you ever say, I watch you throw money out to these strangers, and here I am telling you about dream. Do you don't see me as good soil?
No, I never say anything because I never wanted them to feel like you're winning for money. Because I'm normally, like, that's not my thing.
But
like,
think about how crazy that is though.
Crazy.
Because a whole total, a stripper getting it. And you over here stripping.
That's why
for
I was keeping some. So I'm already working for it. Though. Like, let me, where them dollars at?
But you felt like you couldn't say that.
I couldn't. No. And I've always been that type of person. Like, I don't ask for help. I'll figure it out on my own. If you don't see what I'm trying to do and want to help me, then I'm not going to do it. So I actively make sure that I do that for other people.
That's good.
When I see that there's a need, then I'm like, oh, how can I help with this? Oh, I got here. This is what you really want to do? All right, well, I'm looking for something to invest in. I talked to my accountant. She's like, this is a very lucrative investment. You should do it. All right, this is smart. Let's do it.
Oh, so when you were talking about your boyfriend, you actually talked to an accountant and asked him, would that be wise?
I ain't giving no money out without consulting.
Well, Chris,
we ain't
first.
Talking about 1,000. We talking about 40 of those. So, yeah, I got to let me talk to my people first. Now, she's smart now. I got to make sure you're going to get a return on this thing because not everyone is,
investable.
You got to make sure that you're investing in the right thing because you may have a dream of something and it may not be a smart dream. So, I got to make sure this thing is right first.
And you said that as you was watching, he wasn't actively pursuing that which you invested in. What did you say?
I said, you need to go home and get that together. Because I wholeheartedly feel until a man is fulfilled in his purpose, he can't be everything that he needs to be for a woman.
That's true. You know? And I'm going to tell you why that's so true. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, thank you. One of the first things, because God will give me a download, and I'll be like, boy, that's a whole sermon. Because you just said something that's true, and I'm gonna confirm it through scripture. Very first thing before God gave Adam Eve, he gave him purpose. And he said, this is your assignment. I want you to go name the animals and do this. And he told him to do that and have dominion over the earth. And then after he got finished with it, he said, it's not good for man to live alone. And he said, I'll provide you a suitable helper. And he gave his wife. He gave him his wife. And so when I look at that, and I know that even in times when I was single before I got married years ago, I was like, I didn't feel like I deserved a wife until I earned a certain level of belongingness.
A lot of men think that.
Yeah. And I said, well, let me go ahead and do this. And so I hustled, started doing plays, touring plays across the country. And the woman I was dating at the time, I was like, nah, I want to marry you. But I do believe that because what happens is that once you get married to somebody or while you're dating them, you're going to feel that in the relationship. Mm-hmm. He's going to be sitting there looking. You're going to be glowing up.
Yes.
And then he's going to be resentful. Like, so you think you all that now, huh? You like, hey, so what you talking about? So you think you... you like, man, nah, because you know, I mean, as soon as you really get somebody, I mean, you're going to find somebody else to replace me. You know what I'm saying? That insecurity starts kicking in. But so you hit the nail on the head, a man. But my question to you, when you talked about a man fulfilling purpose, do you really, really, truly mean purpose? Mm-hmm. Because if he's somebody that is fulfilling purpose in a occupation or profession that is not yielding great revenue, would you be able to see the happiness on the countenance of his face, see the impact that he's making, whether he's a gym coach at a high school or whatnot, seeing the influence that he's making if he's actually like one of the counselors or whatnot at a school and be like, no, my baby got purpose and I think less than him?
Honestly, that's sexy to me. Like, I feel like that's, like, having money is great, but I feel like when you have that purpose behind it, because I dated a guy who wanted to do something. He had a business he wanted to do. And, and the only basis was, like, it's going to make a lot of money. But what he could be doing would really change a lot of lives, but his heart wasn't in that space.
That's good.
So that right there, that was a turnoff for me. I'm like... Oh, like you're only like doing this for money? Like this is a space where you can really help people. And the only thing you're looking at is how much money you can make off of these people. I didn't like that. So for me, for sure, purpose and the passion is hands down everything.
So you tell me, Crystal, because I'm a double down on this.
Oh, Lord.
You are doing well financially, and you're telling me, because I'm telling you, these social media streets say otherwise. You're telling me that you're doing as well as you are financially. Got a condo that now you got tenants in and doing whatever. You got a $2.5 million house. You about to close on the condo in Miami. And you will be okay marrying, I don't even want to say a profession, but a profession where the guy is making about $50,000 a year. Because you say seven purpose as his counselor.
That's how much they be making?
Yeah. You're a counselor at a high school. Helped little Ray Ray turn his life around. Ray Ray was about to drop out, dealing with stuff at home, and he's been hands-on with Ray Ray. Ray Ray's father ain't present in his household, and you hearing this little boy call him while y'all on a date, and he's like, man, listen, this is Ray Ray. He's dealing with some stuff. I just got him. I talked him out of this gang or whatever, and I just wanted, do you mind if I had to have this conversation? And he's talking to Ray Ray. You're like, wow, this is amazing. This dude is really causing impact, and he's doing this or whatever, and he's not insecure about your profession. He's supporting you. He's doing whatever you need. Say, hey, anything you need me to help or whatever. He even puts himself as a volunteer assistant in your life. He's like, let me help you get this. I realize that you're struggling this. Let me make sure I get your stuff together, because I know that you always leave XYZ when you leave. Let me get that together. And he's showing up like that.
Oh, I would love that.
You would honor that man and take him on to be a husband if he proposed to you. And everything else was aligned. Love the Lord, praying for you.
Everything else would have to align.
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lot of school counselors challenging you on that.
Right. I got to see, like, you know what I'm saying? I just, as long as he would have to be secure, you know, because one thing I'm not going to do is change my life, my lifestyle, because sis likes what she likes.
Explain that.
I like what I like. I love to travel. And I'm not just talking to Dallas, Texas, or Paris, Texas.
See what she just did, Dallas? See what she just did to us? You see what she just did to us, Dallas?
First of all, I heard Dallas is popping. I had a friend that came down here. And she never came back. So, what's up, Dallas?
Well, come on to Dallas.
I love to travel abroad every year. A dream of mine is to have a home in Italy. I love Italy. I love water. So I like doing boat days, you know, and that cost. And I like the private chef.
How much it cost to rent a yacht? You was talking
in Miami. I pay around $11,000 for the day for 8 hours, for a boat, and then the chef is separate.
Oh, it don't come with the yacht?
No, because I bring a guy that I use in Miami. Right. Yeah, but and then alcohol. You got to think about your liquor and drinks and all that stuff. So, yeah, by the end of the day, between like 12,000 and 13,000. But I like doing stuff like that. You know, it's like fellowship with my friends. I have all my friends with me. We got music playing. We're dancing. We're vibing. Good conversations. Just eating, laying out, soaking up the sun. That's just like, that's what I love doing stuff like that. I love eating good. I love experiences.
And you saying a man, as long as he's secure enough, seeing you swiping credit cards and doing that type of stuff, it don't make him feel inferior.
Yeah, he can't. He can't, because it's not going to stop.
He says it's not going to stop.
Stop. I got to be honest now.
But just saying your heart posture is open to that. Which
it's open to that, but I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. I would love somebody that
could. Of course
I'm
you
not,
want
let's
the
be
other.
Real. Yeah, you know.
That's not a question, because of course a woman would want a man that's a multi-millionaire and has all those attributes and characteristics and all that, to honor God, love you,
but
support you, doing
find.
All that. Why you feel like that's hard to come by?
It's hard because a lot of times those men, and not saying all
I know
of
it.
Them, but a lot of times those men are so caught up in their careers that the wife and the family take a backseat. You know what I'm saying? And then it turns into it's a transaction where, like, here's all this money. You guys, the kids are in private school. You guys can do whatever you want to do.
Could you
do have
that?
A budget.
Could you have a man that's like that?
Only way I could do that is if I got to keep my career. Because I couldn't be a housewife.
Yeah, we've said, no, you keep your career. Do that little old acting thing you do.
First of all, ain't nothing little about
do
it.
Do
she the big one.
You, that little acting thing you do. That's her little hobby she does or whatever.
See, no, he can't do that. He can't talk to me like that. Because Fatima will come out. Who you talking to?
I got scared.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. No disrespect, Fatima. But Tim's like, she can fight for real. I'd be like, this girl can fight. She's like, she just it's like she fight dudes. That's the thing.
Yo, oh my God. Fatima will fight anybody. She will. She rolled up on she rolled up on Gary and Hayden. She does not
Hayden,
care.
Why we want to fight Hayden? If I see Hayden, I'm gonna fight him in the street.
On site. We love you, Chris. But
I
Hayden
love you, Chris,
boy.
But I got to fight you, Hayden. Oh, on site. Cause you just built different.
He is. He's annoying.
He's so annoying. But people be playing characters that don't be liked in real life.
Right. Oh my gosh. I really feel bad for some people. I'm like, you have to have thick skin as an actor.
You do, because people be taking it seriously. They be like, I can't believe how you did so and so. Especially when you're doing them soap operas.
Oh my gosh.
Because them soap operas, they used to have that, and you would be every single day in somebody's household where they believe that's really you.
Yes.
And you be mad in the mug at Shamar Moore. Be like, been cheating on that woman.
Right. He ain't no good.
He ain't no good. And so you said, so do you find a challenge when dating guys from your profession, not just the fact that you're in the spotlight, but what you do as an actress, kissing on people,
rubbing on people,
having sex with people.
Yeah,
on
it's
camera.
Not real. Okay, it's not real sex.
I know, but you had made a comment. You like it scenes where you looking like y'all, you know, giving each other oral sex and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I had gotten a call. Remember what season it was where are you comfortable with giving oral sex on camera? And I was like, well, shish. I was like, how are you gonna shoot it? Are you showing
your
my head?
Like,
are you showing my head doing this? He's like, no, it'll insinuate. I said, okay, well, just insinuate. Don't, you know what I'm saying? So, and it's nothing sexy about any of it.
No, because it's not nothing going on.
No. Do you know what we have to do when we give head on TV?
What?
Do the alphabet with your head.
Alphabet with your hand?
Your head. No, with your head. So draw the letters out.
Alphabet?
Yes.
I might tell. Oh, never mind. Hey, baby, listen, I want to give you a little tip. Can you just do the alphabet?
But it makes it look like you're doing it, but you're not doing anything.
He said, do the alphabet with your head.
So that's the, you're saying, you're like literally like A, B, C, D.
And we stuck on D.
Yeah, right, literally. Here we are.
We on D. And so, but when you explain that to a guy, do they seem more, or do they still be like, but you still kissing this dude?
Yeah, you're still kissing them. And we don't do tongue. You know, we don't do tongue. I have a nudity rider. And I try to explain that to my partner so they understand that I'm being as respectful as I can to still give a good performance and to still be creatively free, but respectful to myself to my future children, if I have children.
That's good.
I think about what they may see and how cruel kids are.
You actually think about that?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't even know if I'm going to have kids, but
from
I think
TV, you say, from what I do on TV, not on my Instagram, but on TV, mm-hmm. this role, I want to make sure that I'm not embarrassing my future children.
Because it lasts forever. That'll be out there forever. So I want to make sure that whatever I do, that they're not like embarrassed, or you know, that kids can't say anything because kids are so mean. So I think about that, and then also about my partner. But I'll tell you, one of the most supportive people that I have that really made me more comfortable with doing sex scenes was my dad.
What'd your daddy say?
He was like, "You're just acting." He's like, "It's not real. You're portraying a character." He was like, "It's fine."
But he still has limits. He don't want to see you naked.
Well, he's not. He doesn't watch it. No, he doesn't watch. But he didn't want me feeling bad about doing it.
Would you be okay with your spouse? That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I support you. I ain't gonna hinder you because you was doing this before you met me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna be watching you on TV.
I had one guy say that, and I was cool with it.
Really?
Yeah. And then Sisters came on BET one day, and he was like, "I'm just gonna watch it." And then me and Zach kissed, and he was like, "Yeah, I can't watch this shit." He didn't like that.
But you would feel like that? You would be okay with being married to somebody that don't support you like that?
I don't feel like that's support.
He don't even know what you do. He don't even watch what you do.
Well, he knows what I do, but like some people just don't want to see that.
But it's the love of what you do, and he can't even have a conversation with you about an episode.
Yeah, no, we could talk about it, but he doesn't really want to watch it. You know, yeah. And I'm okay with it. Like, I have to respect my partner's boundaries, you know, because who's to say that he has a job where I may not be comfortable with certain things, but I still love the person. So I'm like, you have to respect your partner's boundaries.
See that as him not support. You'd be like, mm-hmm. okay, we good.
Not at all. Mm-mm. Because that particular person did support me in so many other ways.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wasn't tripping off that.
Did it make you feel bad at a certain, you know, when he saw you kissing, and then you saw his response to that, you'd be like, "Man, I kind of bothered him in that." You know, did it make you kind of feel uncomfortable or make you question, you know, where the trajectory of your career would go being with this guy if you continue going that route?
It's crazy you say that because I did feel like, dang, like I want my partner to be like, "Oh, okay, babe, you did a really good job." Yeah. Like, that don't bother me. I know it's fake. Yeah. You know, I want my partner to be secure enough to know that this is not real. The person I'm actually kissing has a wife that he loves.
Yeah.
You know, but into also you watch so many other shows, you don't have a problem with it. But when it's a person that you're laying next to, then it's like,
and a person that you should know enough to know that I know you enough that I know this is acting. Yeah. I know, and get comfortable enough to talk to, you know, DeVal or something. Be like, "Man, what's going on, bro? Hey, this, and it ain't no big deal." Because I feel like if you can talk to the person that's kissing on your partner, that you can be like, "Oh, okay, I realize this dude ain't trying to, you know, cop some feels or do something, you know."
Right.
But we understand in this industry, it do be some dudes that be like,
"Yes,
I'm gonna take your woman."
No, really. I'm talking about treacherous men out here that don't care that you're in a relationship. Like, what that mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got a man, so you ain't got no ring.
I got a woman, too.
Yeah, that just, oh my gosh. What is wrong with y'all? Huh? But yeah, I've had that situation where I've had people that weren't secure with
that. So you have a guy, have you ever had a guy the opposite that was secure and just said, "I support you, I watch your stuff, ain't no big deal"?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was cool. But I felt like, too, with that person, they wanted to be on my Instagram. They wanted to.
Oh, they want you to post.
I feel like it was more cloudish. Like, they just love the life.
Yeah.
You know, so it was great on one aspect because I didn't have to worry about that. I could go to work and be cool. Like, not have to worry, like, is he going to be tripping if I do this? Or, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this scene. Maybe I should talk to Tyler. Like, I don't want to have to question my job, you know, especially when you're not paying these bills. Okay. Yeah.
Carissa, there you go. Shooting slugs again. you be armed and dangerous. Now you just see.
I need you to just sit there and take it.
sit there and take that. Right. Now, you like that $400 bottle of wine I bought. How you think I got the $400 bottle of wine? You showed drunk and you drunk more of it than I did.
How you think we got this roof over our
head? That you done accidentally moved into and I didn't even see that take place.
Don't make me run
you
about
just
it
slid. You just slid. You just start bringing piece by piece and garment by garment and you ended up having a whole room.
Wake up and I'm like, How did we get here?
Nobody's supposed to be here.
I've tried this love day for the last time. Oh, Deborah.
She done walked in the bathroom with somebody. Nobody's supposed to be here.
Stepping on water puddles because you can't dry off in that big shower. Dry off in there before you get out. Pet peeve. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Crystal, so how when a relationship is over, how do you, are you vocal or do you let it linger past its expiration date?
I told a man I thought he was a baller, so I'm very vocal. I don't sugarcoat nothing.
But how long did it take you to transition that relationship back to where it was supposed to be?
That one lasted 5 months. This last one was 1 month because I'm starting to listen to the voice of God sooner. I know you're still working on me, Lord, but I'm hearing you clear.
So you were in a committed relationship for 1 month?
I don't know if it was like, I wasn't talking to anybody else, but we were still, it was like a trial. We were dating, okay. But like I wasn't, because once I liked somebody, I'm like, all right, I'm cool. You know?
So you're talking about once you start liking somebody, you stop dating multiple people?
Yeah, like if I like really start feeling you, I'm like, okay, let me just, I'm a serious person, whether I'm a serious dater. Or I'm serious single. Like I'm either one of the, I'm either serious by
you just
myself.
Say serious single.
Yes, I'm either serious single, or I'm serious when I'm dating somebody. And maybe that's a flaw. Maybe I need to be more like not putting all my eggs in one basket.
Agreed.
You know, and actually date. For and get to know
dating
people.
Is data collection.
Yeah, that's what PD says. He said, collecting data.
I did a whole episode called that in season two. It's literally because you're sitting down. It's almost like saying if you were, prime example, thank you, Holy Spirit, your own life example. Ooh. You said that when you were working in wardrobe or whatnot, then you got a call that said, hey, would you like, you know, Tyler has this series of shows he's going to do. Are you interested? You say, let me see. That's how dating should be. Yeah. It should be. And then you said, let me go see what it is. And then you prepare to go. You prepare for yourself. You ain't just showing up unprepared, but you're showing up. Hey, this is what I am. And then he gave you the black card and then you went to work.
Yeah.
And so with dating, I look at dating the same way. As you sit down, you're entertaining the conversation. Mm-hmm. You're trying to see, is this, should I make this career path, this change to say, this is what I want to do? Because these are the desires of my heart. And oftentimes when you hear that alignment coming from the mouth of somebody else and you're going, hold on, God, this is different. You know, this is different. Then organically it's going to change from the three dudes that you dating that know that you're dating three other dudes. You're like, listen, I'm dating, you know, I'm a free agent right now, you know, and then they applying pressure. They showing up as their best self and then they'll present you with the best offer and be like, listen, this is what you get with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Another dude like, this is what you get with me.
And I'm at
another
the board dude, table like,
which one I want? Another dude be like, listen, I ain't looking for nothing serious. You know what I'm saying? I don't see myself getting married. And you be like,
okay, well, you can go.
Yeah, you can go ahead and go. But let me see about you too right here. Let me see how authentic you are. Are you 100% what you talking about or what? And you decide. And so I always tell my viewers and listeners, I was like, hey, listen, just date. Because what I found with a lot of my friends is they'll date a guy, they'll be dating for 7 years, 8 years.
Right.
But their heart's desire is marriage.
Yeah.
And then they're aging you past all your dreams.
Yes.
You could be like, I want a kid by this age. You done met with your doctor. They done told you 35. Listen, you gonna freeze them eggs or no?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so they're having these conversations. You dating the same dude that don't know where to put you at. He like, you know, dude, I don't want to be rushed. You know what I'm saying? I don't be rushed.
Seven
you 8 years in.
Yeah, what we doing?
9 years.
No. I ain't doing that.
How long would you wait? How long would you wait to date a guy before he actually said, you know what, let's start discussing marriage?
A year. I feel like within a year, four seasons, you should know. You've seen a lot.
Yeah.
After 3 months, you start to see the real person.
Yep.
You know, that representative has taken off.
Yep.
And now this is the real person. And you're going to know, like, I feel like it doesn't take that long for a man to decide. It took my mom and dad were married.
8 months.
Yeah. No, literally. Like, they got engaged in 6 months.
I heard
months.
You say on your episode.
Yeah. Come on.
You said in 6 months they knew they was gonna get married. Mm-hmm. He proposed to her in 6 months, and 8 months they tied the knot.
Yeah,
because that's serious. That's exactly how it is. It don't take every man that I've talked to that got proposed to somebody or married them, or whatever. They be like, in the first 6 months they knew.
I knew, yeah.
And a lot of times it's earlier than that. They just trying to work out whatever they got to do financially or whatever their career is. They trying to work that out.
Yeah.
But they say, oh, I knew that was a person by the first date, the second date, the third date. They know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I always find that interesting. But you'll wait a year, and then what happens after that year? You'll just be like,
what are we doing? You know, y'all hate that question. But what are we doing? Because, I know the caliber woman I am. I know how I treat my man. Not even so much what I bring to the table. I know how I treat my man, how I support my man. How much figuring out you got to do? You know what I'm saying? And I'm of the age now where I don't have time to waste, you know? So if we're going to do this thing, we need to, come on.
You vacillate between wanting kids or not.
I do.
Where are you at today?
Vacillate. It's great vocabulary. It's yours.
You know, I'm a writer, Crystal.
Yeah. You know, right now where I am today is I'm not putting pressure on myself. I feel like from 33 to probably 40, and I just turned 41 in October. I put so much pressure on myself. Oh my God, like stress, like, oh my God, my time is running out. And it wasn't until I really got into my Bible and read the story about Abraham and Sarah.
Mm.
And PD always teaches us that these things happened. These stories are put in the Bible to show you that you may not be 90 something 100 years old when it happens, but these things can happen for you even when you feel like it's too late. And I even battle with freezing my eggs or letting God have his way. Yeah. And for me, where I'm even my walk, I'm like, God, if this is what you want me to have, you will allow this to happen in your way. It won't be that I did it man's way. And not saying there's anything wrong.
Right.
I've
it's just what your path. You said your journey is different.
And that's
different.
Where I am right now. And next year I might be like, okay, let me see if I can get some in vitro or surrogate. I don't know. But right now I'm like, okay, God, this is what you want. And I find my man and we get married. Then if you want me to be pregnant, I'll get pregnant, you know, but I'm not putting that pressure on myself anymore. And I'm okay. Like, I have nieces and nephews that I take care of and that I absolutely adore and love. And I'm okay, you know.
Do you have a type? Do you have to divorce a type? Because you said you normally used to date a lot of younger guys.
I did. Oh, my God. I had a phase where I dated, like, 20-something year-olds. And I was like, what? And sometimes they, like, go harder than the older
because they go, they got something to prove.
Hey, they be proving.
Crystal, they be proving? What they be proving, Crystal?
Shout out to everything.
Crystal, what they be proving?
Everything. I like, you know, I might need now play. Spend the block on the youngest.
So what's the youngest?
The youngest I dated.
In age difference.
Yeah. Oh, it was 13 years.
13 years younger.
Yeah, he was 30. Good Lord. Gosh. Yeah, me and his mom was damn near the same age.
So I'm like, did I go to school with you?
Hey, sis. Yes. Listen.
We went to school together.
I remember we
used to date the same dude. How you doing? Well, now I'm dating your son anyway.
Yeah, he grown now.
He grown. You like my show? Yeah, keep watching my show.
Keep watching. I appreciate the support.
My son is dating Fatima.
Literally.
So where are you at now? What is your dating age range?
40s. Like, everybody I've been dating now, around the same age as me, with like a year or two different. I would probably, the youngest I'd probably go now was like 35. That would be the youngest.
Six years down?
Yeah, that's about as far as I'll go.
And how far up?
Well, that's good. Probably like maybe 50.
So about 9 years up, 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you approach by? More younger guys? First of all, do guys approach you when you're out at restaurants? Do they come up and shoot their shot?
No, that's the crazy thing. Nobody approaches me. Most of my relationships have been based off of referrals.
Yeah.
Or, I want to introduce you to somebody. I think you guys be great. Like, I just had a friend send me someone's Instagram saying, he's such an amazing guy. He's got a lot going on for himself. He has a house, a car, no kids. I was like, oh, this is sounding great.
Did you say it sounded great?
Great. This is great. These are my new checklists.
God, you answered prayers real quickly.
Real quick. I was like, all right, let's go. But they don't approach me. But what I get is a lot of people say that I carry myself as if I'm either married or already have someone.
Yeah, I could agree with
that. So I don't give off loose or, oh, yeah, she's definitely single. Like, let me approach her.
Yeah, you come off like you've been in a long-lasting relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what I get all the time. I'm like, I'm by myself.
Well, sometimes people also can't believe it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They be like, come on, I know she got somebody.
Fatima.
Yeah, she got, come on, Fatima got somebody.
And they even think I just have somebody, like, just an old faithful.
Your little cuddle buddy.
Yeah, no, some pillows. I got a whole lot of pillows on the other side.
So are you open to guys sliding your DMs and trying to shoot their shot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that, but it got to like be somebody I know. Like, it can't just be like a stranger. Because a lot of those do that.
Because let me tell y'all this. You know what I'm about to say, right? She wouldn't even allow me to pick her up from the airport today. Let me tell you something. Because she said, I don't know this man. She said, I'm sorry to this man. I don't know this man.
I do not know this man.
I do not know this
man. But what I do, I allow you to send a stranger.
She said, but you can send
me
a stranger.
Black car.
Send me a black car to pick me up. I trust this man. I don't know what country he from or nothing, but I trust him over Lateris R. Whitfield, Mr. Dear Future Wifey. Boy, if I said that that wasn't a shot to my doggone ego, I said, Father God, boy, they just make women in Atlanta different.
Different. I need a black car to pick me up. Period. I don't know that man. I was like, he gets in the car. I don't know him like that.
I said, I'm going to tell Denoy. I said, Denoy, but I said, ain't even worth
it.
Ain't
even worth it. You was like, and then after you said, I was like, that was stupid. Are you dumb?
You see me every week on one of the biggest relationship podcasts in the world.
I don't know that man. Boundaries. I do not know him.
Boundaries?
Coming to pick me up. No, it's like coming to my house. No, you ain't got to come to my house. He want me to get in a car with him and sit in the front or the back. I'm joking.
Oh, God. My side hurt. Listen, you're about to launch. Well, you're about to do a test run of the tour of Keep It Positive, Sweetie.
I am. You are so silly. We need to do our own little thing together because this is funny.
Listen, because I talked to Denora. We're talking about me coming down to be on your podcast.
Yes, we have
the first week of March or something, whenever y'all about to shoot y'all next season.
Yeah, so we can. I'll come pick you up from the airport.
I'm like, I don't know that woman. I'm going to do her the same way. I'm the same. Ain't getting the car with us.
I'll send my driver, darling.
Well, I ain't got no driver. I'm going to send myself.
I'm going to come pick you up and be like, I thought you get in the car. I thought you were sending the driver. I am the driver.
So you have a date that you're doing in Atlanta on March the 30th.
Yes.
This episode is going to drop the first week of March. And so you'll have tickets available for people to purchase, right?
We are sold out.
Well,
we will do like Patreon or something like that. So we're going to film it because it's something you don't want to miss.
Okay.
But yeah, the tickets went up and they sold out like that. Thank you, guys.
I can't go.
Oh, you good.
Okay, I'm trying.
Now that I know you.
Yeah, see, I can actually come to the show.
You can come.
Maybe,
I got to see.
Maybe have a seat or something.
Yeah, I got you. We'll put one. I'm actually having to add, like, seats for, like, my special friends and guests because we literally ran out of seats. They only give you so many. You have to get a job. They give you a certain amount of comp seats, and then everybody starts calling because they missed the announcement. Yep. And life, I'm like, I was doing press when we announced it, so like,
I don't want to
not calling people saying, "Hey, I'm doing a show." Like, this is for the fans, you know.
Which is interesting. It seemed like it was like the first year that y'all really did heavy press for sisters. And
you're
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I told you I'd be watching. I'd be watching.
And it's crazy. That was our first time we did the Sherry Shepherd show.
Yep.
Tamron Hall.
Yeah.
We were really excited about it. We had Sway in the morning. I got to say, "How, Sway?" He said, "You've been waiting all your life to say
you
that."
You sure did. Listen. But what's so crazy about it, which is I call it the Tyler effect.
Yeah.
He never needed. He don't be needing press.
He don't.
That's what's so crazy about it. Yeah.
on now.
So here, y'all ain't never had to do it. He'd be like, we gonna get viewership regardless.
Top, and it's like, listen, but top
then
shows.
I also feel like y'all need yeah. it. You know what I'm saying? For y'all to get the experience, the love, the yeah. you know, the what comes along with that, the cachet from that.
Because that's so, a part of the journey yeah. as an actor.
Yeah.
And that's so much fun. Like what we got to experience that week in New York was amazing.
Yeah.
So shout out Tyler and shout
yeah,
out
Yeah, like y'all had
that.
A whole lot of fun
yeah,
doing that.
Yeah, we did.
Listen, can y'all make sure I have I have an amazing group of supporters at the Lit Fam. I want y'all to make sure that y'all go subscribe to her YouTube channel. Make sure that y'all start watching her, not only just watching her, but on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
make sure that
you.
Y'all support the podcast. Like, she know I ain't, you know, some people could be lying talking about they watch a podcast or whatever.
No, you really watch
yeah,
it.
I actually watch it. I watched it from the very beginning. And so shout out to Denora. You have
yes.
an amazing
oh
team. She is so dope. And it's good to have somebody
so
that's a believer. Somebody that's going to pray.
You know, that's why I actually, when she asked me, she told me, because I had actually asked Denora before to be my manager, and she didn't have the bandwidth at the time. So she grew her company, and she called me, and she said, okay, I have the bandwidth to take you on. And one of the main things that drew me to her was that she was a tither. Come on now.
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're in my territory
yeah,
right
yeah.
here.
I don't play about that.
You're in my territory. Why is it important?
Come on, Holy Spirit. I'll say it for you.
Because let me tell you, because I was going to ask you this, and
really?
That is so crazy that God would do that,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot.
Mm.
I was going to ask you, is it important for your spouse to be a tither?
Absolutely.
And you just brought it up from a management standpoint.
Yeah, because I know if you will honor God over what he gives you, you're going to honor my deals. And yeah, I need him all in the mix of that. Yeah. I don't play about that. I got you. Look at my arm.
Yeah.
I don't play about that. Mm-mm. No.
What made
yeah.
you just say that? You said with Denora, you.
That's what made me want to. I told her that I was like, the thing that drew me to you, because she had did something about tithing on Instagram. And I was like, that's the kind of manager I want. Like, literally. And most people wouldn't even like, if you're not in church or you're not a tither, you don't believe in tithes. Let me tell you something. My parents raised me to tithe since a very young age. And I remember when I was working at the pool as my first job, I was a lifeguard. And I went and gave a tenth of my check, and something happened where it multiplied just like that. And I went to my dad. He was working on a apartment complex, and my dad's a builder. He's a contractor. So I went to the site, and I was like, Daddy, I was like, I tithed, and this is what God did. And he was like, see? And then every time, like, there's moments where I didn't, like, where I'm at falling off the course, you know, just in my prodigal child phase. And then when I got back on track, God continued to show me. And I would tell all my friends, they look at me like, how are you? How did you? Oh my gosh. And one, you have to have a giving heart to God and then to others. When you're selfish, it's going to go as fast as it comes. And I try to tell people that all the time. That 10th, Pastor Darius said it last week, he can do more with that 90%. Than you can do by keeping that 10.
Yep.
So that's what, yeah.
All right. Because I look at moments like that mm-hmm. throws me off. Like, because I literally was talking about that today with mm-hmm. myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having a conversation with God, and I was looking at my what I tied last year, and I said, man.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, I said, I never thought that I could do something like that.
Did you ever have a phase where you was embarrassed by what you was giving
man,
God?
Man, let me tell you something.
Come on
I'd
now.
Like, I'd be like, God, you know what? I'm doing the best I can now.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can.
One time it was $60. I was like, good.
I'd be
that's all I had.
Happy. I'd be like, Lord, I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But I had stopped tithing for years.
Yeah.
And then when I joined the church again,
mm-hmm.
I told my pastor, I said, I'm going to be the biggest tither in this church.
Wow.
And I'm number two.
Come
next
on
to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, oh, this, and I had made some lofty goal. I was like, I'm going to tithe X amount of money this
mm-hmm.
year or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, and I didn't, and it was so crazy about it, I didn't put a goal on how much I would make.
Mm-hmm.
I made a goal on how much I would tithe.
That's
man,
good.
When I tell you, and God said, you know, and he talked to me, said, you know what you just did then? Mm-hmm. I said, what? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You just said that. You said, I have a kingdom principle.
Yes.
I have a kingdom goal that I want to tie this.
Yes.
And you didn't think about how much that would translate into you making. I said, oh. He said, that's what I mean by having the right alignment and heart posture when you want to seek ye first the kingdom. But I said, I'm going to ask, is it important for a, because I've never asked nobody that question before about when they are vetting and dating, would they make that a prerequisite as they're vetting a guy that's tithing?
And you know, a lot of men don't.
No, because they're like, I ain't going to make the pastor rich. Look at the pastor, he got a Bentley. He don't need my money.
Look, he dress up every Sunday. He wear more labels than me. First of all, you think about the wrong thing.
100%.
You're not. You don't even get it
at all.
And that right there is a red flag for me.
Lot of people still overlook that red flag.
They do, and they wonder why they're still in the same place they in.
100%. I know that everything that I got, even last year, just testing God. I said, I'm going to try you at this. Mm-hmm. You're coming first. Mm-hmm. And it was doors that was opening up, money coming from the north, south, east, and west. Yes. Bought me a house last year.
Come on now. Give me some.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Nice, beautiful home. Yes. And I was like, this is what it was. And I was just like, I said, God. And I didn't even have a goal in my mind to get a house last year. I was renting this other house. I was fine. Mm-hmm. And then the minute I just started tithing, God said, I'm going to get you a house. He started putting my eyes on these houses that were being built in my subdivision. I was like, what? I said, man, let me see.
So you was like me. He was like,
yeah. I was looking and said, can I? God said, you can. I said, you sure?
And watching pride.
He said, your credit look real nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get it.
Come on.
And so that's what I did. And I was like, wow, I got it. And I look back, I said, God, you gave me abundantly above all I could ask or think, because I wouldn't even faithing for that.
Yes.
God will do some things in your life when you're not even faithing for it. He's hearing the desires of your heart, and he's making provision for those things that you haven't even uttered out of your mouth. You just thought it.
Yes. Let me tell you something. Oh my God, you just spoke to me. So when I was looking for a home, the home that I got now, Tyler had called me when he said, it's time for you to get out that little condo. And sometimes God will send people to affirm the desires of your heart because you're not ready to take that leap of faith yet. So Tyler called me and he said, I understand that you feel like you just got one foot in the door, but baby, you're in the door. He said, I remember I used to say, okay, well, this is what I can afford. I'm going to go get this house. He said, within 2 or 3 years, I had quadrupled the money and I could have went and got the house I wanted. And then I was tired of this house. I should have just got what I had my heart set on. And he was like, because God will always provide. He said, and I was saying being stupid. He said, you're there. You know what I'm saying? He was like, I'm not telling you to be reckless, but hear me when I tell you this. He was like, you're in the door. Stop living with that scarcity mindset. Go get what you want. What else do you want? I said, well, I want a spot in Miami. He said, okay, done. Like, what else you want? Like that's nothing. What else do you want? Think bigger. And I was like, well, I mean, I would need a lot of money to give me a place in LA. He said, it can happen. So literally having someone like that to sow into me.
Speak into your life, to open your mind up. I'll say this, since you just said that, and I'm going to wrap it up, is my pastor used to think the same thing. Mm-hmm. He used to tell me, because he was like, I never wore a design or anything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't buying this. I said, it cost too much. It don't even make sense. I kept saying it makes sense. My pastor one day, he had me do the podcast at the church, and he wanted to make a little joke and bought me a Gucci shirt. And so he was like, because he always wearing Gucci down. Head all the way to the socks. And I was like, so he was at the Gucci store. He sent me some pictures and said, hey, what shirt you want? I said, oh Lord, this is so silly. I said, give me this shirt. And so first thing I said, let me see how much this shirt went. So I went on the website. I said, this shirt $1,200. I said, oh no, I ain't never had no $1,200 shirt. This don't make no sense. Please don't give me that. He said, why do you think like that?
Yeah, because what you did is like, $1,200 ain't nothing once you do it one time.
But let me tell you something. It'll open your mind and be like, I need them shoes to match. I need this belt. Yes. First thing you walk in, I said, I ain't buying no $500 belt.
You couldn't wrap your mind
around it. You know how many belts I could buy for that? Let me go and get that belt. It goes with them shoes. Let me go and get those. I started buying. 1 month, I ended up spending like $20,000 on stuff. And I said, I done got a Gucci backpack, Gucci luggage. He said, because he kept telling me, he said, I'm going to tell you something, Latarius. He said, your mind is on this level right now.
Mm-hmm. You're on Zara.
I'm not saying you have, exactly.
No,
I'm
no
not
wrong
saying
with Zara.
Nothing, because I love
I got
it.
On today.
This is Zara's pants right here.
Hello.
He said, the reality is that I'm not saying you have to get it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put you in the mindset if you want it, you can have it.
Ooh,
I said,
yes, shabba.
Pastor Eben, he said, I'm just telling you. He said, because right now you don't even see the value in it. He said, once you get experience, you know, you start experiencing, you're like, this is a different quality. This is it nice. Is. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't see it as such. And I said, this is a different quality. It is this. Yeah. And he said, but then what that did, thank you, Holy Spirit, he elevated my thought process on the clothing level to buy the designer stuff, that when it came time to drop $100,000+ on a house, it was like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just spent $20,000 on some doggone Gucci stuff or whatever a couple of months ago. I could do this for the house.
You sure can. And so, it's coming back.
100%.
I'm going to get it right
and
back.
So it's an elevation from mentality. So yeah. Whoever is listening to this, whatever, like take the impartation that Crystal and I are saying, whatever you are faithing and believing God for, that God can meet and exceed your expectations. Listen, make sure y'all support Crystal, Renee, Hazlett, and everything that she's doing. She hit a million followers on Instagram. Yeah. What was that? August. And, you know, I was celebrating your success then.
Thank you.
And so keep grinding, keep having a giving heart, keep being a woman of God and represent God. Hey, y'all give it up for my homie who wouldn't get in the car with me, Crystal Renee Hazley, y'all.
You better take him to this airport, though. No? Thank you so much. Seriously, this was amazing.
This was dope. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned to the end for a letter to my future wifey.
Been writing these love letters to you.
I'm Leterris R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless, as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Man, wasn't that episode dope? I really liked that. I'm glad that Crystal Renee could join us on the podcast. Look forward to going on our podcast and seeing what kind of questions you're going to ask me. Well, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, in the midst of all the dreams and plans we've woven together, there's one thread that shines brighter than the rest, the promise of creating an everlasting bond between us. From the moment our paths intertwined, I felt the connection that transcended time and space. It was as if our souls recognized each other, whispering secrets of love that would stand the test of time. And now, as we stand on the threshold of forever, I can't help but marvel at the depth and beauty of the bond we've already begun to build. But creating an everlasting bond goes beyond mere words or gestures. It requires patience, understanding, and a willingness to grow and evolve together. It's about embracing each other's imperfections and celebrating the unique qualities that make us who we are. Together, we will create a love that knows no bounds, a love that is as timeless and as enduring as the stars themselves. And as we journey through life hand in hand, I know that our bond will only grow stronger with each passing day. Your future hubby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.